Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak library, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the BBP 2. This is the Deuce, presented by 50 West Brewing Company. Paul Leonard Jr. and Jim Lazarski, your Bengals beat writers for the Cincinnati Inquirer, Cincinnati.com. Here with you. It's Browns week.
Yeah.
Which I know has people very excited. No. It's holiday weekend, 0-10 Browns. I just want to thank our listeners that are actually listening to this.
Yeah.
That are into it.
Yeah. Thank you.
I do actually want to thank them. I actually have something very real to say thank you about what I'm thankful for to open this.
Oh. Okay.
We started using Audio Boom at the beginning of last training camp. Right in the middle of training camp, we switched over. So if you've ever hit play on our website, you see we have the Audio Boom app and player there. And so stuff that we do for the podcast runs through there. Well, they track all our numbers and, you know, how many listens we've had and who's listening from where. Remember, we had the Swedish Minute because we found out we had a base in Sweden.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, there's lots of really good stats in there. Well, an interesting one popped up just yesterday. Since training camp of last year, we just crossed 1 million listens.
Wow.
To the BBP.
Thank you.
Thank you to all of our listenership. It's so awesome, the little community that's been created. You know, we go on the road. We did all these road trips.
Yeah.
Pretty sure every road trip, somebody came up at some point and was like, hey, BBP, love the BBP, right. Blah, blah, blah. It's like we everywhere we go, whenever we even it's at camp or wherever, we always hear those of you that love the love listening to the podcast, and to cross 1 million is crazy.
It's
awesome to have all you on board, so thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That is something to be thankful
1 mil.
That's better than stuffing.
It's up there. It's at least in the same conversation.
It's not as good as sweet potatoes.
Let's not start here. I don't want this to be. It's
no, I am thankful for 1 million listeners and sweet potatoes.
Yeah, both of those two things. Fair, agree to disagree.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you again. Bengals Browns is Sunday. Maybe you're listening to this as you're driving to go to your family thing, or you're flying.
Yeah.
Somewhere it's like millions of flyers. Maybe you're on the plane. You're like, you know what? I'm just gonna dive into Bengals Browns. We're not gonna go too far into Bengals Browns. We're gonna kind of keep it a little bit on the maybe the more topical thing here.
Yes.
There's news. There's not much news happening this week. The Bengals won last week. They are in this giant glut of teams to try to make the playoffs.
Right.
I ran through a bunch of the numbers and the DVOAs and the pertinent stats amongst those, like the group of eight.
Yeah.
I had to keep coming up for new adjectives to describe the group of eight, like the mediocre eight, the like fledgling. There's just so many.
The craptastic eight.
The craptastic eight. I mean, the somebody's got to win eight.
Right.
Right. So, we sort of.
All we need is some ties now with some of those clubs to just really make it crazy.
Marv liked the tie for the fact that you're there. It took all the tiebreakers out last year.
That is true.
Of course, then it didn't really matter. No. But yeah, a tie would be bad for the Bengals on Sunday. But anyway, yeah. So there's lots of stuff in the game day section. Check it out online about that path and the craptastic eight and where they're at with that. Kind of some interesting stuff. Cliff's notes: L.A. Chargers, Baltimore Ravens. If you look at schedules, you look at how they're playing now, you look at all of that, are probably the front runners of the eight.
Yeah.
So actually, if you're listening to this and you're getting ready to watch Thanksgiving, Chargers at Dallas could have significant implications
for Bengals fans, for Bengals hopes. Football games to watch and teams to root for, and while everybody seems to hate the Cowboys, and I'm on that train, if you're a Bengals fan, you're hoping Dak Prescott figures it out.
Because the Chargers are playing well. They have two losses in their last six, and it was by one score to New England, and they went to the overtime with the Jags, who we've seen have been so good. So, you know, they're actually playing fairly well. They hung that 50 burger on the Bills and the Petermans.
Yeah, and the Petermans, the flying Petermans.
So anyway, you can check that out. News this week, Marvin Lewis sort of put Randy Bullock on notice.
Yeah.
We've seen 2 weeks in a row with a PAT miss.
Yeah, Marvin's, that was, you know, basically just flat out said, I don't have any patience for that, and we're committed to him this week.
This week.
This week.
Yeah. I didn't expect that just because, although I should, because it's every press conference someone gets thrown under a bus at this point.
Yeah, but three weeks in a row.
3 weeks in a row. Last week it was Jeremy Hill and John Ross.
Or two weeks in a row,
Randy Bullock takes the hit this week. But, I mean, you know, it's fair. When you miss PATs, you miss kicks.
This is like last year.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't want to hang that whole disaster on Mike Nugent.
And last year there was a loyalty to seeing Nugent pull him out of stuff pull himself out of stuff like that. There's none of that here.
No.
This is just the dude
that
we brought in this year who better not miss kicks.
Yeah.
Because that's the reason he's here. You look at the numbers because everyone loves to dive into Jake Elliott. I mean, you know,
they should have drafted a kicker, Paul.
Yeah, I know.
I just want to remind you.
I know. Elliott has had many more opportunities, but their percentages are almost identical.
Yeah.
Randy's been around 80. He's 8 of 10 from field goals, and he's now missed a couple of PATs. He's low 90s on PATs. That's almost identical to what Jake Elliott is, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah. Oh, Bengals Twitter.
Bengals Twitter doesn't like it. But Jake Elliott's concussed right now, so I don't know if he's going to play.
That is true.
Or what's going to happen. So otherwise, in news, there's not really a whole lot going on.
No.
Preparing for the Browns.
The only thing that's interesting, Paul, is this held true at the beginning of the year when this team was 0-3. Browns week, at least I've been here for three seasons, has always been a loose, open locker room. Guys are around and happy to talk. And really, I mean, it's a short week. I mean, Marvin kind of surprised them with a victory Monday, which he made sure to tell everyone, no, I scheduled this 2 weeks ago. It wasn't victory Monday.
Yeah.
But he gave them a victory Monday pre-scheduled. So I guess good on Marvin for thinking they were going to win. Whatever.
Yeah.
So Monday, I mean, these guys were all gone. Tuesday's off day. Wednesday, there was really just no one around. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't get the same sense of, like, it's the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Marvin addressed it in a way, Paul, because, Hugh Jackson's team is playing hard for him. They're in these last 6 weeks, his team is in games. Now they brown themselves in the, white pants, and there's brown on it at the end of the game. That's not an inaccurate statement. There's brown on their white pants.
Typically.
Yeah, typically. And usually it results in a loss.
Yeah.
Because they do something brownie at the end of these games, but they're in it, which is enough, I think, to have the Bengals' attention knowing they have to win.
Yeah. They went to overtime with Tennessee.
Right.
I mean, we've seen a bunch of this. So I think he's got their attention that way. You mentioned Hugh Jackson, and I think it's the most interesting thing that probably people will be talking about over the Thanksgiving table.
Yeah.
If you're talking at all about Sunday's game, is Hugh Jackson going to be the coach of the Bengals next year, right? At a certain point, that's what we're talking about. And now, that doesn't necessarily mean head coach. Maybe I shouldn't say the coach. A coach.
A coach, yeah.
At the very least, and they currently have an interim offensive coordinator for a team that is 32nd in the league in offense. That screams probably looking for an OC.
Potentially.
The whole coaching staff, who knows what the hell's going to happen here.
Right.
But we don't know how Cleveland is going to fall. Sort of trying to get an ear to the ground up there, you catch a feeling that even those that are connected to the club are like, yeah, we don't really know what's going to happen because it's unpredictable ownership.
Right.
But the bottom line is this. I don't know how many teams would have interest in Hugh Jackson besides the Bengals.
No, none
more so than the Bengals.
None more so.
I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. You and I and many around this building have just talked about this topic in general, and I don't know if Hugh Jackson's done a thing to me or to say, like, he could be a head coach again anywhere, but, you know, he's well-regarded in this building. I mean, his offense isn't that great. It's funny, Paul, like, how bad. It's like the Bengals have the worst total offense, like 29th scoring offense. The Browns have the worst scoring offense, 29th off. I mean, this is just putrid offensive
all
game
bad.
We're going to see Sunday. But you're right, though. Like, it's legitimate. I mean, Hugh likes Cincinnati, loves Cincinnati. I think that affection goes both ways, and not just with Marvin, the front office here.
Yes.
It's fascinating because Hugh publicly continues to say the Haslams love him and back him.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, as you've been poking around and trying to see what the feel is up there, I think it's because no one trusts the Haslams.
Yes.
I mean, Hugh might, but anyone else who's been around them, their entire ownership, and maybe even the federal government, doesn't trust the Haslams. So...
maybe.
You know what I mean?
Maybe.
So that's not incorrect. So, you know what I mean? So I think that's what just keeps this weird cloud. And then obviously, however the Bengals finish.
Because it's the Browns.
Yeah.
And they do what they didn't say they were going to do, or the unexpected move,
right,
or the quick rebuild, knee-jerk reaction,
right,
all the time. The one thing I do think has been clear from the beginning, you know, there's no rift, right? There's a rift.
Yeah.
I mean, there's clearly the coaches have one thought and how things should go, and this front office has a different thought.
Right.
So it seems like someone would have to win out in that.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine them going forward and feeling like they're all on the same page at this point.
Right.
So is Peyton Manning coming in? Like, and then is he going to want his own guy?
Right.
Does a new GM need his own coach? I mean, what really happens there? You just don't know. The bottom line is, at the very least, you can't go 1-25 and not say there's a chance that you could be fired at the end of the year. And if he does, and you look at the uncertainty surrounding Cincinnati right now, you can absolutely see how the logic lines up where Hugh Jackson could be back here next year.
Yeah.
And whether that's as an OC for Marvin Lewis head coach, or whether even that's as a head coach.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just curious about that. And listeners, I mean, I know it's a holiday weekend, but if you're tweet at me and Paul about this, because I have a hard time, and I'll call you out on Twitter too if I disagree with you on this one, because all we hear from Marvin, it's same old, 0-7 in the playoffs. We want him out, and then this club would introduce a head coach, potential head coach with a winning percentage that's worse than Dave Shula's.
Yeah.
And be like, this is the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land. I mean, I have a hard time believing a whole bunch of people are going to be behind that or believe it. Or maybe you guys just think Oakland-Cleveland thing doesn't matter and it's not a reflection of the guy who willingly took those jobs.
That's absolutely, I feel like, as they feel fans, from what the sense that I have got.
Right.
There's always positive. We want Hugh. Yeah, maybe we'll get Hugh. Right. We get Hugh back, right? And I get that because he did great things here and was liked and all of that. And he's not Marvin, which is like the number one thing that fans are, you know, losing their minds about right now. And I do think there's a sense that I'm not holding Cleveland against Hugh. Everything's stacked against him. It's a bad organization. They gave him no talent. They gave him no help. He's out there trying to win with Deshaun Kaiser,
which to me means he won't get fired.
But I mean, I don't know what's gonna. We don't know what's gonna. I mean, the unpredictable nature of that.
Yeah,
but I'm saying from a fans, I think fans will brush that aside to say, yeah, well, the Browns are screwed up, man. I'm not holding that over Hugh. Hugh's the man, right?
Yeah.
So
tweet at me. I want to hear from y'all.
Yeah. I don't know. That's my sense that I get anyway. Yeah. But you know who knows. But anyway, it's very much a thing that could happen. What happens over the next 6 weeks will probably go a long way to determining that, because the bottom line, I mean, if the Bengals make a run here amongst the still pretty sucky eight,
yeah,
and end up in or really playing that Baltimore game where they need to win to get in, you can see how Mike Brown would say, okay,
let's do it again.
We got through some struggles. We found some things out. We figured some things out and started moving in the right direction with this young team.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Paul. I think it's important to realize that Mike and ownership, and most ownership groups, I won't say all, since Cleveland is part of this conversation, look at the whole picture. So if let's say it's an 8-8 finish, which is what I predicted to start the year, by the way. Anyway, throwing that out there. That would actually be an 8-5, kind of end of the year, 0-3, right? And what were all the numbers? 0-3. No one, how many teams actually finish 8-8?
Right.
It's like 12% or something goofy, and then like a lower number even make the playoffs. Like, I think ownership here would say, wow, the team didn't fall apart, made a change at coordinator, which had never been done. It wasn't great. Maybe some changes have to happen on staff, which leads into your other point of maybe bring the band back together.
Yeah.
In another fashion. But I could see that.
Yeah.
Being like, okay, here's the 1 year deal.
Some sort of injection of hope on offense.
Yeah. And it's still a 2-game improvement from a year ago. I mean, you know what I mean?
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I can see it. So you could see, to me, I could see the Haslam's pulling the plug on Hugh, and I could see the Bengals keeping Marv, and I could see Hugh coming back as OC, and guess what we get again? Coach in waiting.
Yeah, and this time Hugh would actually hang around for that because no one else would hire him as a head coach, in my opinion.
I think it would be the smart move. Yeah. I mean, I think if you, if you dialed up Hugh right now, and you had the ability to go DeLorean style and go back.
Oh, yeah.
Would you rather stay here, be OC for 2 more years, and be coach in waiting for this team in 2018? Or would you rather go do the Browns again?
Oh, yeah. It's a pretty.
I can't imagine you would say I'd do the Browns again.
Right.
Going through what you've gone through.
Yeah.
But I don't, who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, it could be. It's going to be very, very interesting to follow what comes of the Browns and the Bengals over the next 6 weeks because, it's just going to be wild. Let's do Optimistic Bobby.
Yeah.
And come back, answer the question, and we will preview our Browns, do our predictions. And then we'll go to the hot seat after that, hot seat with Darquez Denard this week, Dr. Yeah. Darquez. So here it is. Optimistic Bobby is back with all his optimistic takes, optimistic questions after a big optimistic win.
It is that time yet again. It is time for Optimistic Bobby, 50 Less owner, Bobby Slattery. Bobby, how are we doing?
Hooray!
I assumed we were going to get a good one. I actually pulled the phone back from my ear there in preparing myself for the excitable Who Day I expected.
It's happening, Paul.
It's all happening.
Dreams are coming true.
Yeah. You got to feel good about the state of the AFC right now. It's such a mess that everything is set up for the Bengals to maybe be that team that you still believe that they can be.
We talked about it last week. They came home with a win from Denver, and now we just have to make our way through Cleveland. It's not a guaranteed victory. I feel good about it, but they need to come out there and play well, and it sets up for everybody's favorite storyline. Our favorite team, the Steelers, stands right in front of us for what should be an incredible game to get us back to 500.
That's it. That will be the one that you'll be talking about for years, I guess. If you get that one, it's like, getting the arch enemy, punching the arch enemy right in the nose with everyone in the league and the world watching. I mean, it's all you can hope for.
I'm just so excited. I just can't. I can't. If we can get through this week and we win the game this week, which we should, we're right back in the thick of this whole thing. Everyone that was calling for gloom and doom a couple weeks ago, worst season ever, we might just be sneaking our way into the playoffs. It's great.
And that's how it goes, right? So, those are always the teams that end up actually winning a playoff game, like the last one that you expected.
I know. Somebody wrote an article the other day talking about, like, oh, watch, they're gonna win this playoff game. It's the worst thing that could ever happen. If they can win a playoff game, I would be absolutely thrilled. That's the next step. And I feel like teams, you know, you gotta be excited. Ablehi, I went back and rewatched the game to watch all of his blocking that he did. I don't think I've ever done that before. Very interesting.
Rewatching the game to watch a little offensive.
Yeah, rewatch from the offensive line standpoint. It's just, you know, it's a good time to be a Bengals fan. I feel like we're on the up and up. We get to play Cleveland this week. We got Thanksgiving right here around the corner. And then it's all setting up perfectly for Pittsburgh. So,
yeah,
great things from last week. You know, the defense just looks great. And let's hope the offense can just maintain. I did look up an interesting stat. We are running, like, the amount of plays we're running is incredibly low.
Yeah.
I actually want to say it's like, it might be the least amount of plays on average, like, since I want to say it was like the 49ers back in 2002. Might be the only team that's been able to compete with this. So,
yeah.
Which you could look at that as a negative, or you could look at that as a positive. Really efficient use of our win. Don't have to call a lot of offensive plays. Just figure out a way to get it done and win dirty. So
that is an optimistic take. You're saying fresh legs and an open playbook that people haven't seen before is the big advantage of running 101 fewer plays than your opponent over a three-game stretch. I like that. That's not the thing.
Yeah. Maybe they're holding a few things back. Maybe the whole John Ross thing is just hey, we don't want to show them too quick. We're going to need them come playoff time.
Yeah, I like that. I like all these things. This is just as optimistic as I expected it to be. What do you got for a question for us?
All right. I want to know, with how this season's been panning out, is this the most interesting season that you guys have ever covered with the Bengals?
Okay. So interesting, like strange interesting?
Yeah, like strange, yeah. Like is it the strangest, most interesting season that you've ever had to cover, with just all the ups and downs and what is this team? So is it, I guess strange is probably the better word. So what is it, the strangest team that you've ever covered?
I like it.
And yeah.
I like it. That sounds good. So I would ask you what's going on out at 50 West, because I know, because it's our big event next week. I'm pumped.
You got it. We're going to be talking about the Steelers coming to town.
Yep.
I will say right now, I'll go out on a limb right now and put it out there that if the Bengals win this week, all beers will be half price to talk about.
Whoa.
Yeah. Bring it. Now if they don't win, I'm going to put that out right away. But if they win, we'll go half-price beers.
Half
down at 50
price,
West.
All beers at 50 West if the Bengals beat the Browns on Sunday for the BVP, for the live BVP. I love it. That's an optimistic take. Everyone can literally drink your optimism.
You got it. Just be excited. There'll be so many good things to be excited about. We're going to need all the positive energy coming into Pittsburgh. That's what we're working on. That's it. I hope everybody out there has a really happy Thanksgiving, spend some time with their family. I hope all the Bengals get to spend some time with their family. And I look forward to talking about this Pittsburgh game here in 2 weeks and bringing home a Bengals win this Sunday.
Absolutely. And happy Thanksgiving to you, Bobby. Appreciate it as always. We'll be talking to you next week live and in person.
All right. Hooday.
All right. So there's Optimistic Bobby again, to reiterate, super jacked for November 30th, so basically a week now. In a week, Thursday before the Monday night Steelers game, in a week, November 30th, 7 o'clock, we'll hit the record button at 50 West down at the Production Works. We're going to be doing the live BBP, so come on down. We'll take questions. Me, Jim, Optimistic Bobby, I think Lindsay's going to come down. Yeah. Should be a big, fun crew down there at the Production Works. So, if you don't like coming downtown, if you kind of get sick of going into downtown, but you maybe wanted to come check out one of our Bengals live events, this is the perfect one for you.
Right.
Have some beer. We'll have the food going. Eat. Chat. We'll do some off-the-record stuff afterwards. Should be a lot of fun. So come on down to 50 West Brewing Company and for the live BBP on Thursday. It's Thursday, November 30th. Okay.
Is this, I'll answer the question, is this the strangest season you've ever covered?
No, because as most of you million listeners are aware, I came here from Green Bay covering the Packers, I should say, and actually the 2013 Packers season. And for Bengals fans, that was a 5-2 start, and then Aaron Rodgers breaks his collarbone on Monday Night Football. And all of a sudden, the Packers cycle through Seneca Wallace and Scott Tolzien.
Did they bring Matt Flynn back?
And then finally find Matt Flynn off the street. They went through, they went 0-4-1 after, like, beginning with Rodgers breaking the collarbone. And then somehow Matt Flynn goes 3-1 down the stretch, or 2-1. Rodgers comes back last week of the year.
Yep.
Must win it at Soldier Field. And, of course, it's A.A. Ron doing A.A. Ron things, hits Randall Cobb. They go to the playoffs.
Long bomb to Randall Cobb on, like, the miraculous throw.
Yeah. And now, granted, the Packers ended up losing to, lo and behold, Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
One of the best individual performances I've seen from a quarterback.
That's when Dom Capers couldn't stop the zone read.
Yeah. It was Colin Kaepernick just destroyed the Packers. And it wasn't the first time he had done that. That was out in that was something at Lambeau Field, and so that is by far the strangest, just because of all of that, and like, what team goes 0-4-1?
Yeah, and then Matt Flynn saves the day off the street,
right? And then so you know you're kind of feeling good as a Packer fan base, and then that guy shows up,
yeah,
kind of like who? You know what I mean? It was just kind of the height of everything, and especially look in hindsight, obviously this year with the Kaepernick off-field stuff and Rodgers' broken collarbone again. So I would say that was the oddest, strangest football year I had ever covered.
I wonder if the first full season I actually was here every day covering the Bengals was 2010, and I don't think I will ever see one top that one from the first one. And looking back on it now, because then, you know, I'm kind of fresh eyes. I'm new to the place. You're trying to get your bearings, things like that, and that season happens. Now, looking back on it, how wild that was with T.O. comes in, you know, him and Chad making so many bold claims are coming off the playoff year. I mean, they're just – it's insane that they literally have a reality show, and the locker room is just completely ripping apart, and they lose 10 in a row, all of them by, like, one dumb play a game. It's unbelievable. The expectations were so high. It was the most miserable fans had ever been. And then it concluded with the Carson Palmer, I'm going to retire, the worst press conference ever. I mean, there was nothing stranger than 2010 around here. A truly ridiculous Cedric Benson in just full on tears for like 10 minutes after a win over the Browns. I mean, because he had finally gotten a chance to have his big day. It was just the strangest. Nothing will top that.
Yeah.
Nothing. I may cover the Bengals for the next 20 years and never see one like the first one.
Yeah.
So that one is definitely stranger than this one. This one has been odd, but not odd like that. All right. So let's get to our predictions and then get to the hot seat and so we can get out of here.
I mean, I kind of hinted at a little bit earlier, Paul. I'm going 23-16. Bengals, I think it's just, you know, people kind of forget how ugly that first half was up in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
With a missed kick by the Browns and some would-be almost turnovers, loose ball on the ground for the Bengals. Honestly, I think it stays that way the whole game. I think Myles Garrett and Danny Shelton make a difference. I think Corey Coleman, and I would not be shocked if Hugh Jay runs out Josh Gordon. Why not? He's trying to win a game.
Yeah.
And unlike some coaches, he might play a player 10 snaps.
Ooh.
Just because it, you know, deep downfield threat that could get open.
Yeah.
Maybe, kind of.
Yeah, the Josh Gordon factor is interesting. I think that we talked about a lot about matchups, and some teams are just bad matchups for the Bengals. Any team that can rush the pass really well is a bad matchup. Myles Garrett is a bad matchup. He's really looks like he's going to be the real deal. But the one thing the Browns do super well is stop the run.
Yeah.
I mean, they lead the NFL in yards allowed per carry.
Top six overall, I think, in yards.
Yeah,
per
and,
game.
You know, yeah. And considering how much people run it against them, right, because they're always behind. You know, the Browns are always behind. It's incredible that they're sixth.
Right.
But yeah, only three yards per carry. Well, the Bengals already can't run the ball. So what's the difference?
Right. That's true.
Like, they already, it's like the Bengals come in every week knowing they're not going to be able to run,
right,
the ball, and they're still able to do other stuff. So I don't, the one strength, I don't think it hits the Bengals in that bad of a spot. It's,
yeah,
like, whatever, we don't run the ball. So,
right,
what? We never do. By the way, the numbers after last week's debacle, I love tracking these every week now after 26 for 49. They're now averaging 2.98 yards per carry, which is, since the merger, fourth worst yards per carry by any team.
Wow.
Fourth worst. Worst since 96 now. So they're moving. They're chasing down the 96 Patriots. They need a couple more games like the last one, and they'll be able to get there. So anyway, that's why I think Bengals do it like they normally have been doing to the Browns. I have 24-10. They cover the 8 and get the W. All right, let's get out of here. Again, want to thank everybody for listening, not just to this one, because you've got lots of other stuff going on and they're playing the Browns and who cares,
yeah,
but you know, we try to keep it interesting for you, but for listening throughout, I mean, a million is just a crazy number that,
yeah,
I can't even believe in 14 months. Full listens. It's awesome. So anyway, thank you again. Everybody listens to BBP. We love all y'all. Tweet at us, as always, anytime you have questions or anything. All right, let's bring in the hot seat. This was Darquez Denard from Tuesday's show. Another good one. Always good stuff. This coming Tuesday, Alex Erickson will be our guest. Holy Girl Bank, 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening. And we'll talk to you later.
We are back, and this is the hot seat. You are on the hot seat. Darquez, is it Darrell or Daryl?
It's actually Terrell.
It's what?
Terrell.
Terrell. How come it said Darrell in the Wikipedia?
I don't know.
All right. All right, Darquez, Terrell, Denard. You went to Michigan State, right?
I did.
How come you're wearing Ohio State colors?
Oh, man. Is this Ohio State color?
Yeah.
Red is actually my favorite color.
Yeah.
So.
Not green?
Green is always my favorite color.
See, I
color.
Got you, man. That's why they call this the hot seat. You got to show up in your Sunday Michigan State best here. I'm going to notice it. You grew up in Dry Branch, Georgia, right?
Right.
Now, because I'm a reporter, I reported a little bit on Dry Branch, Georgia. I can tell you, 2,246 people in Dry Branch, Georgia.
That sounds about right.
That's about as many people in here tonight. Give or take.
It's probably more in here.
Probably.
It's probably more in
now,
here.
Now, are you the most famous person ever from Dry Branch, Georgia?
I don't think so.
Who's more famous? See, you can't think of anybody.
I can't think about it right now.
There you go. Do they have have they named a street after you?
I don't think so.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Do they have like a burger, a famous anybody who's anybody got a sandwich named after them in their hometown? You got a sandwich named
after
you?
I don't. That means I'm not famous enough or something.
All right. You know what else? I looked up things to do in Dry Branch, Georgia on TripAdvisor. You know what it said?
Nothing.
Not a damn thing. There is nothing to do in your hometown. Would you agree with that?
Kind of agree. It depends what kind of person you are.
Okay. It's not for people who like a lot of stuff to do.
If you like outdoor things, it's a lot to do.
A lot of outdoor stuff.
It's a lot of outdoor stuff.
Okay, I got you. It's near Macon?
Yep. I stay right on the borderline.
Did you ever go see a Macon Whoopee hockey game? Did you know there was a hockey team in Macon named the Whoopies?
I didn't know that.
Now you do, man. See, I know more about your town than you do.
That team can't be there no more.
And that's not there anymore. It only lasted 1 year. Macon Whoopies, you got to figure fly by night, you know? As a high school senior, you had 40 catches and 50 tackles. Why did you go the defensive side?
I was tired of getting hit.
Tired of getting hit.
I was tired of getting hit.
You'd rather be the hitter than the hitty.
Definitely.
How important are interceptions to you?
It's important.
Important.
It's important.
Because at least outwardly, to the novice, to the person who doesn't really understand the game, if you make an interception, you're really good.
That's what the outside people think.
Correct.
So people see a lot of interceptions, they probably think that guy's really good.
Right.
But that's not necessarily true.
I asked Deion Sanders. Deion never got, when he was really good, he never got interceptions because nobody threw at him.
Exactly.
So, but interceptions are kind of misleading. What quarterback would you most like to intercept?
Most likely?
Most like to. Most enjoy picking off.
I would probably say Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, just because it's Tom Brady.
And he went to that school down the street.
The school down the street, that would be Michigan.
Michigan.
Michigan?
Michigan.
Yeah. See, you're talking like you're Mr. Michigan State now, but you got that Ohio State jersey going right
this
there.
This is not Ohio State.
Looks pretty red to me. What is your goal in life?
My goal in life?
Yeah, the one goal you have in your life.
I say my one goal in life is to open up a youth development center from my hometown.
That's nice. See, because I'm surprised because I, yeah. I would have thought your one goal in life would be to dress like Drake Kirkpatrick.
Nah, I pass on that. He's kind of out of the box for me.
He was wearing, after the Tennessee game, what looked like a Sergeant Pepper outfit. You know who Sergeant Pepper is?
Okay. I know.
All right, never mind. Never mind. Showing my age. What is the perfect non-football day for you?
The perfect non-football day? Probably going to the movies.
The movies, all right.
I like the movies. Eating, got to eat throughout the day, whatever I want. So no matter, right now I'm on a diet, so I can't eat certain things.
Yeah, you can't eat good stuff.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I hear you.
So, eat whatever I want.
So you're a pretty simple guy. You're not hard to please.
I'm not.
Go to a movie and have some food.
That's it.
Most of us could do that. You tweeted on October 4th, quote, change someone's day with a beautiful gesture. When's the last time you did that? And what was the gesture?
The last time I did that, I say today.
Yeah. And what did you do?
I tipped the waiter. I gave her a really nice tip.
Gave her a really nice tip.
Really nice tip.
That's good. That's great. I appreciate that because I used to be a waiter. Sometimes people can be rough on tips. That's great. Now, you tweet this phrase almost every day. Grind and pray. Let God handle the rest. Thank you for blessing me with another day. Why that particular saying?
Why? Because it just reminds me, just do what you do. Work hard. And, you pray every day. And just, let God handle the rest. Don't worry. Don't stress. Have faith in him and he'll guide you.
That's great. That is really great. All right. I'm going to give you a list of sport, no sport. I'll say the sport or whatever, and you say if it's a sport or not. All
okay.
Right? Golf.
It's a sport.
Auto racing.
Say it again.
Auto racing. NASCAR.
Not a sport.
Pool. Playing pool.
Not a sport.
Hot dog eating.
Hot dog eating. Not a sport.
You never seen that? The Coney Island thing where the guy jams 50 hot dogs?
Yeah, but I feel like that's not a talent.
It's a competition. It's a talent.
I mean, yeah, but
could you eat 50 hot dogs in 10 minutes?
That's true. I can't do
all
that.
Right, then.
But you can practice to do it, though.
Yeah,
I feel like everybody can do it.
Everybody can do it. So, you're right. You're not unique by doing that. Chess.
Not a sport.
I agree. Dancing with the Stars.
That's a sport. Dancing. That's a sport.
Yeah, watching Duck Dynasty.
Not a sport.
Shooting ducks.
Not a sport.
Skateboarding.
Sport.
Pie eating.
Not a sport.
Spelling. National Spelling Bee, all those little kids?
It might be a sport.
That's a sport. You got to train for that.
Yeah.
All right. Are you country?
A little bit. Depends on what you define country.
How do you define country? I mean, you've come from a place that has fewer people that are in this room.
Sort
of. What is country? What does it mean to be country? Do you like country music?
Some of it.
Some of it? Do you own a truck?
I own a truck.
Do you wear camouflage when you're duck hunting?
No.
Do you duck hunt?
I don't duck hunt.
You don't get this stuff just anywhere. Do you like to listen to Toby Keith music?
I don't.
Do you know who Toby Keith is?
It's a country singer.
That's right. You ever heard of anything he's ever done?
I probably heard a couple of songs.
All right. I'm not as good as I once was, but once I'm as good as I ever was.
That's a song?
That's a song.
Sing it for me.
No, thank you. What music do you listen to?
I'd probably say hip-hop.
That really surprises me. How could the world become a better place right this very second?
I say respecting the other person, no matter what their beliefs is.
That's a great answer. I'm serious. That's a great answer. Thank you. What is your favorite dessert?
Chocolate ice cream.
Chocolate ice cream. Again, simple guy. Go to the movies, have some food, have some chocolate ice cream. Perfect day. What is the Thanksgiving food that you always used to, like, wrap up in your napkin so nobody could tell you were throwing it away?
Oh, man. So I'm a very picky eater.
You are?
Yeah, so, I don't want to say. My grandma might watch this, so, yeah.
If your grandmother's watching this, we are in good shape right here. Three-bean salad, that kind of, yeah, like three-bean casserole, right?
I never had that. I probably won't eat that.
Yeah, well, don't start. Who's the best human being on the Bengals? You know what I mean? Who's the best guy? A guy that you say, I'm really proud to know this guy because...
It's probably a couple guys. I'd say one that stick out to me the most. It's probably Vinny Ray.
Okay. What makes him, like, the best guy, best human being on the team?
His attitude.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what time of the day, what's going on in his life, you have the same attitude, same mindset. He's a very positive guy, and he's great to talk to.
What guy on the team would give you his last dollar?
I think you can say every guy in the locker room. I think we kind of all close, and we, you know, we all look out for each other.
What guy still has the first dollar he ever made?
If I had to guess,
yeah.
Sean Williams.
Sean Williams. All right. I mean, he wouldn't buy your movie ticket, right?
You won't. Yeah.
I know you can't say that, you know, that might have been, you know, Mike Brown. It's a politically correct show.
No comment.
No comment. Smart man. What teammate are you most proud to call your friend?
All of them.
All of them. That's another politically correct answer. You were doing good to the last couple answers, you know? We were on a nice roll, and now you just, you know, do the PC thing. Is there anything you would like to ask me?
Where do you get those questions from?
I spend hours, my man. This took all day doing this, man. Like about 15 minutes.
That's not all day.
How do you like? Were the questions all right?
Oh, that was pretty cool.
They were all right?
Yeah, I don't like the shots that you did about my hometown, though.
I wasn't the shot. I was just educating people. Now, people by the millions will now go to Dry Branch, Georgia, just to see your hometown, because I publicized it. You think that'll happen?
Probably not.
Probably not. You are off the hot seat. We will be back with Beyond the Stripes and JosephAuto.com.